want to tell you that, as I told the first service, I love where God's taking our church. I love what He's doing in this place. And I'm stepping up here today doing something that I've never done before since I've been the pastor of this church, and it's been a long time since I've ever done this, or since I've done this. It's been years and years, over a decade. And God is stretching me. He's taking me to deeper waters, and He's doing something new and fresh in me, and I love it, but I am uncomfortable with it. Do you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know stretching can be uncomfortable? When God stretches you and He does new things, it can be uncomfortable. And so I have to tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable, but at the same time, I'm just such an anticipation of what God's doing and what He's going to do, what He's doing in us. And I know if He's going to stretch the leader, He's going to stretch the sheep too, right? Amen. So what I'm doing today is I'm getting up here today with no notes. I don't want to say no preparation, because the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me all week, but I didn't write anything down. And as I told the first service, I found out something this week. In fact, this morning it really came to life to me, that even though I prepare and I get these notes and as inspiration from Holy Spirit, I found that there's a certain level of unhealthy security that I can get from those notes, from standing behind those. And I think today God's wanting me to step out in front of those. And be completely vulnerable. How can you learn to be vulnerable if your leader is not vulnerable? Holy Spirit wants this. He wants this. I hope you see this today. I pray that you see this. Father, let us see the truth of your word today. Let us see the weight of it, the depths of it. Would you just pray this with me? Just pray this. Just close your eyes. I'm going to pray. You don't have to repeat. Just listen to this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to break every legalistic religious mindset that has ever been planted inside of us. Rip it out of us, Father, and pour into us today pure truth. Restore us, Father, to what you desire for us to be. Help us, Father, to step into this truth today. Help us, Father, to see your word as you intended for us to see it. Now just say to him, Father, I receive that. Say, Father, do it in me. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. So I'm just going to go with this. I don't even know if it'll look like first service or not. It doesn't matter. This is what Holy Spirit is just sharing with me this week. This chair today is going to represent the law. Or religion. In fact, if I titled this message, I didn't even say this in the first service, but if I did title it, which I'm not going to, but if I did, I would call it Love Equals Relationship. And so this chair represents the law. And what we have done over the years is we've tried to sit in this chair. And we were never intended to sit in this chair. We were never created to sit in this chair. Yet thousands of years later, here many of us sit. Now, I don't have to tell you, you know, this is one of those metal chairs that you see in a Sunday school classroom. I don't have to tell you this chair is uncomfortable. How many of you know this chair is uncomfortable? Anybody ever sit in one of these chairs for longer than 30 minutes? Your backside goes numb. It's very uncomfortable. It's hard to sit in this chair for a long period of time. Yet it's amazing to me how long we will try to sit in this chair. This chair of legalism, this chair of religion, this chair of religious beliefs, this chair of the law. We'll sit here and we'll let this chair become a part of our life. We'll let this chair dictate and define who we are. And not only will we allow this chair to dictate and define who we are, we will allow this chair to steer our thinking and to guide our thinking so that now we have to condemn other people who don't look like we look and who don't act like we act and who don't sit in this chair. Don't you know this is what the church is supposed to look like? Don't you know this is how we're supposed to act? Don't you know that this is what it's supposed to be like? I mean, come on, this is what we're supposed to do. Once we receive Christ, we're supposed to sit in this chair and follow these rules. But that's not what the Word of God says. But that's what this chair will do to our thinking. This chair of the law will cause us to strive for the acceptance of God, to strive for the love of God, to strive for the acceptance of people. The longer we sit in this chair, the more it becomes a part of who we are, but the more uncomfortable we become with who we are. Crazy thing about it is there'll be a lot of people who will continue to sit in this chair till the day they die. Uncomfortable, miserable. And they'll sit here and point fingers at everyone who won't sit in this chair. And then what happens is the more comfortable or the more accepting we are of this chair, we start to change this chair. Make this chair look like what we think it should look like, and we paint it a different color and we add rules to the chair. It's not enough just to have the law. It's now we have to add our own guidelines and rules and ways. If you don't dress this way, you're not accepted. And if you don't talk this way, you're not accepted. And if you don't act this way, you're not accepted. That's what legalism says, and that's what legalism does. I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak positive words. We absolutely should. The Word of God instructs us to speak positive words, but positive words come from a positive heart. A positive heart comes from meditating on the Word of God day and night. It doesn't come from sitting in this chair. It doesn't come from following a set of rules. It doesn't come from trying to look the part in church. It doesn't come from putting on your Sunday face and speaking your Christianese language. It comes from a heart that is dedicated to the love of the Father. We don't just sit in this chair at church on Sundays. We sit in this chair wherever we go. In fact, this chair is convenient because I love what someone said in the first service. We can just fold this chair up and take it with us wherever we go. So we'll take this chair into the workplace and we'll set it up right there in the workplace and sit in this chair. We'll look down our noses at people and condemn them because they're living like they're supposed to live in the world, You know, I love what Robert Morris said one time. I love what Robert Morris said. He said, golfers golf, swimmers swim, and sinners sin. So why are we surprised when sinners sin? Why are we surprised? Why are we threatened? But yet there will sit in our chair, our law chair, and we'll judge people. Pick that chair up when we leave work, and we'll take that chair home. We'll sit in this chair at home. When our kids don't follow the rules like we think they should follow them, then we throw the law at them. I'm not saying not to train up your child in the way they should go. Absolutely do that. The Word of God tells us to. Train your children in the way they should go. But I'm going to tell you right now, I sat in this chair far too long when my children were growing up. I expected my children to measure up to standards and guidelines that were set all by this chair. And when they didn't, when they didn't measure up, I let it show. I let my disappointment show. I'm sorry. I don't feel any condemnation. Don't get me wrong. I'm forgiven. I know it. But it breaks my heart that I did what I did and others continue to do that. This is not what God intended. This is not what He desires for us. We continue to sit in this chair. Nothing but destruction comes. My kids know I love them. There's no doubt in their minds or in their hearts. In fact, when I said I was sorry to him right there, Stephen just shook his head no, like, don't do that. Don't say that. You don't have to, Dad. I get it. You don't even have to say anything. I get it. But my heart as a father is breaking for parents who don't get it. Because cramming a bunch of rules down your kids' throats will never lead them to the love of Jesus. Never. In fact, if anything, it will drive them away. Because we weren't meant to sit in this chair. We can't fulfill it. We can't complete it. We can't do what needs to be done to fulfill the law. There was only one who was able to do that, and He came and He did that. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, I did not come to abolish it or do away with it. I came to complete it. I came to complete it on your behalf. I came to fulfill it on your behalf. There was only one who could do it, and that was Jesus, the Son of the living God. And He came, and He fulfilled the law. He sat in this chair on our behalf so that we wouldn't have to sit in this chair. And when He came, I love what someone else said in the first service. He not only sat in the chair, He demolished it. And he brought a whole new chair. He got rid of that chair and he brought this chair. This chair represents relationship or love. Law, love. Religion, relationship. And I don't know about you, but this chair to me looks like home. Doesn't it look like home to you? Does this look like home to you? This looks like home to me. And it really looks like home to me because it's my chair. It's our chair, isn't it? And so it's broken in real good. And when I go home, I don't know about you, but when I get home, I don't just, I got to do this. I got to kick off my shoes, pull my pants up. And when I sit in this chair, I don't just sit like this on the edge of the chair, all prim and proper and good posture. You know what I mean? No, no, no. When I sit in this chair, this is how I sit in this chair. Oh, this is good. Oh, come on. Just let this speak to you for a moment right here. It's speaking to me. It's speaking to me so much, I want to sing a song to this chair. I've been waiting for a chair like you to come into my life. Oh, there goes all those people who've been sitting in that law chair for so long. Oh, he's singing Foreigner in church. I can't believe the pastor was laying in that chair like that with his shoes off. Singing Foreigner in church. I'm so sorry you're stuck in the law. But I have fallen into relationship with the one who loves me. And it's changed everything about me. I don't have to strive for his love. I don't have to strive for his acceptance. He created me. He loves me so much that he came and demolished that chair and created this one for me, so that I can just be swallowed up in his love. I can just rest in his love. And if he did this for us, why would we think that he would want us to go back to the law? Well, Pastor, he didn't come to abolish the law. No, he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it, like I said. Do you understand what he means by that? Well, fulfill it, that means he came to establish it so that we have to follow it. No, he fulfilled it so that we don't have to follow it. Oh, wait a minute. So does that mean that means I don't have to do what the law says? No, then listen to me. When you're in love, then you don't do things out of obligation. Husbands and wives, if you're doing things for your spouses out of obligation, then you're not in love. You're in law. Ooh, Jesus, that will preach right there. You may be abiding by the law of the vow that you took on that day. But if you're doing it out of obligation, that's not love. Love, there's no striving in love. Doing things for your spouse out of love is not work. It's not obligation. It's not striving. It's just loving. So I follow Jesus because I love him and because he first loved me. And I do things because I know I can trust him. And where he leads me, I can follow him. But it's amazing when we sit in that chair and how much we allow that to become a part of our lives, the laws that we put on and the things that happen, the things we make up. And it always bothered me. It always bothered me in growing up in church, and it bothered me when I became an adult, and it bothered me when I became a minister. I could never understand why the Bible would say this, yet we would do something opposite or contradictory. And everything I read about the church in the Bible looked like this to me. It looked like love. It looked like comfort. It looked like a place where you could just get absorbed into. But everything I saw in the church looked like that. Well, not everything, but a lot of things looked like that. Dress this way and act this way and talk this way and be this way. And we get so absorbed in that what happens is we start to criticize and condemn. It's amazing to me how many people sitting in that chair will point fingers and criticize people that decide to jump into this chair. Like I'm telling you right now, maybe not here in this building today, but maybe watching live today on live stream or Facebook all over the world, there are going to be people, and we'll get comments, people upset because I took my shoes off in church. Show some respect and put your shoes on in the house of God. Really, I believe that the word of the Lord says that God told Moses to take his shoes off when he was in the presence of God. You've been sitting in that law chair so long that you don't understand. You're blind to the truth of God's word. If you really want to be legalistic about the word of God and about that, then you should take your shoes off when you enter into the sanctuary if you're truly in the presence of God. But see, that's what law will do to you. Law will mess you up. Law will destroy you. But love will keep you. And love will enrich your life. And love will lead you to green pastures. Love will not harm you, because love is patient and love is kind. And love does not envy or boast. Oh, come on. The Bible doesn't say that the greatest of these is law. The Bible says the greatest of these is love. One day the law will pass away, but love will never pass away. Come on. I'm just going to sit right here. This, I could preach better right here. This is my new pulpit right here. Welcome to my living room. Where's the turkey? Somebody pass the turkey. Sweet potato casserole. Who says that we have to have our shoes on in the sanctuary to show respect? Who says that we have to have so many lights on or so many lights off? Who says that we have to have pews or chairs? Who says that I have to wear a suit and tie or not? Come on, y'all. Who says that we have to sing these songs or those songs? You see what I'm saying? Law will cause you to think that way. But love will cause you to be led by the Spirit of God. It's that simple. And I'm going to tell you what, I haven't gotten uncomfortable yet in this chair. I could just sleep in this chair right here. Y'all go ahead, feel comfortable to just do whatever you want to do out there. Lay your head in your neighbor's lap or something. Do whatever. Well, wait, don't do that. Oh, Jesus. All right, I'm going to show you a scripture. We got time? Yeah, we got time. I'm going to read one scripture to you. I'm going to get comfortable again, though. Let me read this scripture to you. It's Matthew chapter 12. I want to show you this. I want to show you that Jesus addressed this in the Word of God. I'm going to show you how he addressed it. I chose to use chairs today because this is what Holy Spirit told me to do, but this is what Jesus did. It says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, it says, at about that time, Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. Let me just stop right there and say, so listen to what they were doing. Jesus and his disciples were walking through grain fields on the Sabbath. That sounds fun, doesn't it? Just walking through the fields with Jesus. Can you imagine in your mind, can you see them right now? Can you imagine their conversations? Can you imagine that they were probably laughing together and talking together? And you know what? Let me just deal with this right now. I feel like this is what Holy Spirit... Close your eyes for a moment. If you cannot imagine that, in fact, if you imagine Jesus sternly walking through the field and having a stern look on his face and being angry or being just, I don't know, just all business, I think there's a mindset that you're believing that needs to be broken. I want to deal with that. If that's you, I just want you to just hold out your hands in front of you. You don't have to raise your hands or anything. Just hold them out in front of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, break that religious, satanic mindset off of us right now in the name of Jesus. Show us, Holy Spirit, laughing Jesus. Just receive that right now. Come on, he's laughing over you. He's rejoicing over you. I want you to see Jesus with a smile on his face. Every morning when you wake up, he wants you to see him that way. He wants you to see him smiling over you, rejoicing over you, laughing with you. Thank you, Father. So he goes on to say, and the scripture goes on to say that he's walking the fields and his disciples were hungry. They began to break off some of the heads of grain and eat them, but some of the Pharisees saw them do it and protested. Look, your disciples are breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath. I just want to stop there and say, really? They're walking through the fields and they're hungry, so they're plucking a couple of the heads and eating them. And you call that harvesting the grain? Do you see how stuck to the letter of the law they were? How bound up by the law they were? That when they saw some of Jesus' disciples just plucking a couple heads of grain, that they had to bring the law into it. They're breaking the law. You're breaking the law. You took your shoes off in church. You're breaking the law. Really, whose law? Listen to what Jesus said. I love this. Jesus said to them, haven't you read in scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. And haven't you read in the law of Moses that the priest on duty in the temple may work on the Sabbath? Then he says this to them. He said, I tell you, there is one here who is even greater than the temple. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of this scripture. And here's the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath. Jesus is saying to them with a loving heart, he's saying to them, do you not see? Do you not see that the Son of Man, the Son of God himself is in front of you? I'm standing right here in front of you, and I am love. I am love. I created love. Love is who I am, and love is standing in front of you, but you're so bound up by the law that you can't receive love. You're so bound up by the law that you're looking for a way to condemn me. And you're looking for a way to condemn those who follow me. And this is what Jesus did. I love this. I love how Jesus works, because this kind of feels like something I would do. I probably wouldn't do it for the same motives, but it kind of feels like something I would do. Because then it says, then Jesus went over to their synagogue. Come on, y'all. He just said this to him, and then he went over to their synagogue. He's like, I'm going to take this up a notch. You think plucking grains off the wheat fields, you think that's bothering you right now? Wait till you see what I do in your synagogue. Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Wait till you see what I do in your church. I think Jesus was saying that I'm about to mess your church up. I'm about to go over to your church and I'm about to do what I do. But you're probably not going to be like it, because you've been sitting in this chair too long. You're so stuck in this chair of the law that you can't see the Son of Man himself when he's in front of you. You can't see the work of God itself when it's right there in your midst. God is working and moving, but if you're stuck in the law, you won't see him working and moving. All you'll see is people acting crazy. You know, the sad part is I know this to be truth. You know it to be truth. I know it to be truth because I've done it. I've been in church before, and I saw people acting a certain way, and I looked down my nose at them, and I, in my mind, I thought, well, who do they think they are, and what do they think they're doing? And I know how they live Monday through Saturday. And they're all dancing down there in the altar. Law. Law. I mean, the law will make you sit there and go, I don't even like the way you're preaching. I don't even like this message. It's just stupid. I mean, you're just sitting there with no shoes on, and you're, I mean, those chairs, that's pretty cool, I guess. But I mean, but you're going too long now. It's already 12:45, and we're supposed to get out of here at 12:45, and this is past my time limit. Law, law, law. Jesus said, I'm about to mess your church up. I'm going to go up into your church. I'm going to mess it up. That's me. That's probably how I would do it, right? Jesus probably was a lot more loving than that. And this is what it says. Then Jesus went over to their synagogue, where he noticed a man with a deformed hand. Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? Listen to this. Listen to what was happening. This is how messed up they were by the law, that they weren't even allowing people to be healed on the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath? The Lord's Day. The day of rest. They weren't even allowing people to be healed on the Lord's Day. That's how messed up by the law they were, how bound up by the law they were. And Jesus knew it. That's why he walked over to their synagogue. Listen to me. This is how far we've come. Even though the word of God is clear and says, by his stripes we were healed. Healing is the same as salvation. There's no difference in that part of the covenant. let me be clear about this. God sent Jesus to die once for Jesus took the stripes on his back once for clear. Right? So why do we separate the two? Why do we say that God sent Jesus to die once for all, but not everyone can receive healing? Not everyone can be healed? That Jesus healed some and he didn't heal others? That's a lie from the pit of hell. I have even had pastors say, don't you dare tell somebody that God's going to heal them unless God told you himself. Now, you know why they say that? Law. I believe God did say it. By his stripes, we were healed. By his stripes, we were healed. So Jesus says to them, it says they were hoping that he would say yes, so that he could bring charges against him. They were hoping that he would say yes so that they could condemn him and criticize him and arrest him. They were looking for a way to stop what was happening. They were looking for a way to stop what God was doing and how he was moving. They didn't like the fact that thousands of people were following Jesus, and they didn't like the fact that people were being healed by the thousands. They didn't like that. Because they were losing control. So Jesus said, and he answered, if you had a sheep that fell into a well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes. The law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand, and it was restored just like the other one. Then the Pharisees called a meeting to plot how to kill Jesus. It's sad how far the law will take us. Not only will it take us to the place where we miss what God is doing, but it'll take us to the place where we desire to kill what God is doing. And I know there's a lot of people out there going to watch this and not like it. I don't care. I don't live for the opinions of men. I live to please God and God alone. That's it. That's it. So I'm just going to sit in my comfortable chair, my love chair. And I just want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to get comfortable in his presence right now. Father, I know that there are still places in our hearts and in our minds that we're holding back. That we have conceptions and misconceptions, Father, of who you are and what you desire to do. Father, I know that there are many watching right now, live stream and Facebook, that have been bound up in legalism, bound up in an attention to the details of the law. Father, I ask that you would break those mindsets right now. I ask, Father, that you would break the religious spirit. I ask, Father, that you would tear down and destroy the performance mindset that causes us to sit in a chair we were not designed to sit in and fulfill a law that we could never fulfill. Father, in the name of Jesus, reveal truth to each person in this place and watching right now. Reveal your truth, Father, pure truth. Let it flow and flood their minds right now. Father, let them see how much you love them, and let them see how rich and deep and full and complete your love is. Father, I believe as you set us free and impart this great truth to us, Father, I believe that our worship will change. I believe that our time alone with you will change. Our quiet time with you will change, Father. And we'll get real comfortable in your presence, Father. Comfortable with who you are and who we are, Father, and our relationship with you. Father, may we never again work for a religious liturgy, Father, but may we work in love, rest in your love, rest in the goodness of who you are, rest in the fullness of what you've accomplished. Thank you, Jesus. Now just stick your hands out in front of you. Just say, Father, I receive it. I receive your love. I receive the freedom that comes with your love. I will be comfortable with you, Father.